Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul. Yes, Dave is still a little under the weather. Hopefully, he'll be back come Thursday, but I'm not quite sure. So he's recovering, but it's just a little bit slower than what he had in anticipated. So we have the pleasure of having Butch Paul join us today once again, and we thank him for taking the time out to fill in. And it is Tuesday, November 15th, 2022. Hi, Butch.
Hey, Melody, halfway through another month.
Yes, how about
Thanksgiving
that?
Next week. What time is dinner next Thursday?
I won't know till the day before.
Oh, okay.
That's
all right.
I love them, but that's my family. You know, I heard on the radio today that they said that because of inflation, that every household for Thanksgiving dinner is going to cut out one item, cut back on one item. And the question was, what item are you going to cut out? And this silly radio host said that he was going to cut out cranberry sauce. It's like, oh, that would be the last thing I would cut out is my cranberry sauce.
Can I jump in on this?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead, Todd.
Yeah, I'm cutting out the mother-in-law.
Oh, that's a smart move, I tell you what. Hey, Todd, for $50, I won't tell her.
Okay.
Or we won't tell your wife.
Yeah, there you go.
That's worse.
Now, that's $100. But anyway. Oh, gracious.
So, nope. I think it would be like sweet potatoes would be the thing that, or a vegetable. I would cut out a vegetable before I cut out my turkey, mashed potatoes, and stuffing and cranberry.
Oh, it all sounds good already.
I know.
It all sounds good.
We got a whole week to talk about it, and I think it's going to be, I think we got some breaking news. I'm sure it's on the mainstream media already, but let's go ahead and go to gold first. Gold today is up $7.80 at $1,780. Silver was down. Pressure on silver, 42 cents at 21.66. Platinum was down 5 at 1,024. And palladium was up $74, almost 4%, at 2,189. Little pressure on the dollar, down 0.43 at 106.44. Crude oil was up about a buck at 86.84. Paper markets today, the S&P closed higher because of the lighter than expected inflation report. I guess it's time for everybody to, you know, jump up, clap hands, and that we get a little bit lower. The Dow was up 56 points at 33,592. The NASDAQ up 34 at 3,991. The NASDAQ was up the biggest, the big run of the day, 11,358. And I'm just seeing this. This can't be another, well, let me finish the market report. The FTSE was negative overnight. Asia was positive. 10-year yield dropped again, 3.76. And we have natural gas up 3% at 6.13. Now, I'm going to look at this. The White House is requesting $37 billion in new Ukraine funding. It also wants $10 billion for COVID relief. Now, the breaking news is Russian missiles hit Poland. How about that? NATO scrambles. Mm-hmm.
Was that on purpose?
Well, you know, we often talk about coincidences.
You're right.
But there is no such thing.
No, there isn't. Yeah.
You have Biden over there with Xi right now. I think they're in Indonesia. And it was interesting because there was some big dinner earlier today, which is their evening, and Biden didn't show up. Okay? And so now we have this missiles landing in Poland, a NATO nation.
Did it hit anything specific, cities, towns, anything you know of?
Well, it says The Prime Minister of Poland has called an emergency meeting following the explosion. I think two people were killed after two stray Russian rockets landed near the border with Ukraine. The rockets landed in the NATO state following Russia's mass bombardment of Ukrainian cities earlier in the day, with which they saw over 100 rockets launched. According to the AP news agency, a senior U.S. intelligence official said that the missiles were of Russian origin. Poland's Prime Minister Morawiecki has convened the Committee of Council of Ministers for National Security and Defense Affairs as a matter of urgency. It's supposed to take place at 9 p.m. local time. It's 8 p.m. British time. Russia has denied not only the missile hitting Poland, but any rocket strikes near the border at all, despite mass explosions hitting cities near the border. Yeah, I hate to say this, Butch. I kind of believe Russia. Only because...
I kind of do, too.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
I do.
Or, here's another scenario. Maybe it was Russian rockets to get NATO involved, to get everybody's attention on that, and maybe China then could go in and take Taiwan.
That could be a good point. But, you know, it's, back to the point of Russia maybe not being the guilty party, Russia didn't blow up its own pipeline either.
Right.
So you have to wonder. You have to really wonder what's going on. See, that's just, there have been so many lies, it's hard to tell who's telling the truth anymore.
I know. So when we talk about this, we talk about both sides. Does that mean I'm a Putin lover? Of course not. Absolutely not.
No, we're truth lover.
Yes. And so, and Putin just broke the silence on this, and he blames Warsaw for deliberate escalation. So we'll have to see what's going on there. Let's see, where was I? This attack could prompt Poland to trigger NATO's Article 5 provisions, calling on all of the treaty's members to attack Russia. And Biden just asked for $30-plus more billion dollars? Are you kidding me? The timing?
It's all coincidental.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
That's a biggie, though. That is a biggie. That could escalate things pretty quickly. I mean, it really could. It could do it.
Well, you know, the U.S. wanted in this war because they want a regime change in Russia. And Russia pulled out of a city yesterday. They were supposedly coming to the table to talk. So it seems like maybe things were going to at least. But then Russia did this huge bombing thing going on today. So who knows what that was about. So I don't know. But you're right. It could change everything.
And, wow.
But it is one way to get the U.S. in this war. Now they can go into Ukraine and fight Russia. And I see a nuclear bomb coming.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think we're back to 1962 again.
Yeah.
The Kennedy fiasco with what happened with Cuba. But I'm going to tell you what, that's been 50, 60 years ago now. What more destructive power do we have than we had 60 years ago? I mean, how much worse could it be today?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, this the Czech Minister of Defense, Jana Černáková, she said that even if it was a mistake, she considers this an escalation of the situation. So,
well, she's right. It is.
They're going to perceive it as an escalation of the conflict. So that means.
Well, I only can up you. If you shot somebody by accident, you'd still be. That'd be an escalated situation, wouldn't it? You follow what I'm saying? Yeah, I mean, if it's an accident, you shoot somebody hunting an accident, you still escalate the situation. So this is bigger than that. That it doesn't sound good either way around.
Yeah. So, anyway, that was quite breaking news. It's just really, you know, the information is just now coming through, and it's a scary situation. Another thing I wanted to talk about, did you see where President Trump signs a deal with the Saudi real estate developer?
I did see that, but I didn't look in too deeply. What's that all about?
Well, they struck a deal with a Saudi-based real estate company to license its name to a housing and golf complex that will be built in Oman, renewing a swirl of questions about Trump's mixing of politics and business. And news of the deal, the first such international marketing agreement the Trump organization has negotiated since Trump left the White House. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, I know you're going to get mad at me for saying this, but this was in the works long before he left the White House. Why do you think his little, you know, son-in-law was over there all the time? I mean, it was a relationship. And so my question is, what's the difference between the son-in-law, and I hate to say this, but Biden's son?
Very true.
What's the difference?
With China, one with China, one Saudi Arabia.
And now, you know, the one side might, you know, so it's the same thing. So we can't let one and not, you know. So I don't know. It's deals like this in which Trump family gets a cut of condo sales or golf course revenue in exchange for allowing its name to be used as a major source of revenue for the Trump organization before Trump was elected president. So deals like this. But they did not sign any new international deals while Trump was in the White House, but that doesn't mean there wasn't relationship building for these deals for afterwards.
Like that was the first time, right?
Yeah.
In history. Yeah. That's been going on for longer than you not been around.
Oh, absolutely. They all do it. I
mean, sure they do.
Absolutely.
It's called influence. It's called power of influence. That's what it's all about. So, yeah.
And, you know, Trump was really upset with the PGA pulling out Mar-a-Lago. And he's just getting even. He's just getting even. So, so anyway, I thought that was kind of an interesting story. And if we want to do, before you get started on yours, Butch, there was... let's see if I can find this. Household debt soars at fastest pace in 15 years as credit card use surges. This is all out from the Fed. It rose more than 15% from the same period in 2021. Now this is the credit card balance collectively rose more than 15% from the same period in 2021. This is the largest annual jump in that in 20 years.
Wow.
And they're blaming it on robust consumer demand and higher prices. Well, you know, the two just kind of don't go to hand. People usually don't buy things when prices continue to rise, except for food, maybe. Households increased debt during the third quarter at the fastest pace. Credit card usage, mortgage balances, total debt jumped by $351 billion for the July to September period. Now, this is the largest nominal quarterly increase since 2007, bringing the household IOU in the U.S. to a fresh record, $16.5 trillion.
Whew.
That's an increase of 2.2% from the previous quarter and 8.3% from a year ago. And you know, this stuff has to get paid back or they default, kind of like our government.
Yeah, there's halfway as much in debt as the government is. They're in debt 32 trillion, so we're 16 trillion. Okay.
Yep.
Gee, I don't know how people can carry that. Well, I don't know how they're going to do it. I don't know that kind of balance.
Yeah. Hmm. Wholesale inflation ease. This is the other inflation. The producer price index rose 0.2% in October, below the 0.4 estimate. Wholesale inflation was 0.1% decline in services. Year over year, the basis, the PPI rose 8% compared to an 8.4% increase in September. If what they're doing is working, but I don't think it's what they're doing is working. I just think it's, you know, things have a tendency to come down with all the other tools that they have. It's there. Are you there?
I'm here. I'm just listening to what you're saying and trying to figure out the same thing you're wondering. I mean, the prices, if they come down, that's still not much of a drop. But it is possible
no,
gets
it
a drop, you know.
It's still 8%.
It isn't much drop at all. You know.
Yeah,
exactly. It's not, yeah. not to even really make a difference that I can see.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if they went down 2%, they still got a long ways to go.
Yep. So, anyway, I think that's all I have for now, Butch.
Well, I'll tell you what, the breaking Russian story is just about Trump to everything else today. And I didn't use the word Trump to mean Trump, the Trump. But it kind of makes the rest of it kind of pale in comparison. That's a big thing.
Really
that's
is.
Scary. That
yeah,
is
that is a scary thing.
That's like finger on the button scary, if you know what I mean. It's kind of, shoot. Anyway.
And plus you have Biden over there. He's
yeah.
asking for $34 billion more.
Mm-mm. Well, I, you know, we're talking about happening, and it's happening in Ukraine and Russia, and I watched a video the other day, a very good video by Donsk that's been attacked by the Ukraine for the last 8 years. Now, this is all real stories. This, you can watch that online. Ukraine has attacked them for 8 years because they want to be part of Russia, and they've just about tore that town, that area all to pieces. I mean, literally, the buildings are just about all destroyed. People are sharing their stories. It breaks your heart. So we hear it about it, but we can't really understand it because we never been in that situation. It's hard for us to imagine the misery people must be going through to lose their children. I'm talking about children now. Little babies been, you know, laying in caskets, and of course older people, and the homes destroyed. We haven't seen that yet. I said yet, folks. It's in the Bible. We will. In America. So we can look at it and feel bad about it, but we don't understand it. That's why a lot of people turn away from it, because they just can't comprehend it. It's like talking about it being $32 trillion in debt and then a national debt. How do you comprehend that? Just go about your business. You can't fix it anyway. So that's what it's kind of the same idea. So, yeah, folks, it's really a serious situation. And now with this Poland incident, only God knows where it's going to go after this. But it doesn't look good at all.
No. And, you know, there was an article yesterday, and I do like the website antiwar.com. And this was Army awards Lockheed $500 million deal to replenish rocket stockpile. The U.S. Army has awarded Lockheed Martin a deal worth $521 million to replenish U.S. stocks of guided multiple launch rocket systems, which were supplied to Ukraine. So not only did we give them that, now we have to pay to rebuild it. And so what do we use if we had to go to war now?
Well, war is very profitable for certain people.
Very
you
much
know that.
So. Yep. And Lockheed Martin was also had a $179 million contract earlier this fall to replace high mobility artillery rocket systems that were sent to Ukraine. I do too. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
I'm taking what they're giving because I'm working for a living.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom, and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Oh, mercy, mercy, all things and what they used to be lost now. Radiation underground and in the sky. Animals and birds who live nearby are alive. Oh, mercy, mercy, all things and what they
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. You know, Butch, I always say we're going to wake up one day and everything's going to be different. I hope it's not tomorrow. I hope it's not tomorrow.
Well, just think, it's how much different is this in the last 20 years since 9/11.
Yeah, but one day we'll wake up and it's going to slap everybody in the face, us included.
If we wake up.
And, you know, and I just got one more story, and then it's all yours, Butch.
Oh, you say all you want. I'm enjoying just listening to you. Go ahead.
There was an article out of Axios about America's Adderall, how the total Adderall prescriptions in the United States are prescriptions are skyrocketing. And... but now, because of this demand, there's a shortage of Adderall. And now people who get this medicine, who think they need to rely on it, can't get it. This morning I saw a report where it's not only Adderall, but it's also antibiotics.
And guess who makes all those for you?
And guess who makes all the things that go into the antibiotics and the Adderall is China. Now, Adderall, they could probably find something, you know. But antibiotics to fight the flu? Was it Tamiflu? Is that the one antibiotic?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Animoxin or something like that?
That's real common.
It ain't anymore. And it's not anymore. Because
how many years have we been saying
shortage? It's a shortage of the antibiotics, and they come from China.
That's it. Why is China? Will China be? Is China quit manufacturing? Or we quit buying them, or what's going on here?
I mean, they're going to say because of COVID they shut everything down, but that's just an excuse.
Of course. It is.
So
we knew this was going to happen. We talked about it years ago.
We talk about it. And I thought I heard that report this morning. And then I saw this. Now, this article doesn't talk about the antibiotics. To me, that's the important thing. And or the antibiotics. And because we're at, you know, from what I heard, we're having a pretty bad season of flu. So there's a 41 million Adderall prescriptions were dispensed in the U.S. just in 2021.
Wow.
And that was up more than 10% from 2020. Then people want to know what's going on in this country when you have people going crazy, shooting people, doing this, doing that, the crime's up, this is that. I'll guarantee you most of them are probably on Adderall. I mean, I don't know that, but, you know, from what we've heard and so forth in the past, is a very good possibility. Depression, anxiety,
frustration, anger, and we do know that most of the school shootings that the children are either on Prozac or some other kind of Ritalin, some other kind
Adderall,
of mind-altering drug. Yes,
yeah.
I mean, that's, yeah.
Which
of course
is the same
they play
as
part
Adderall.
Of it.
Yeah.
Of course it influences them. I mean, that's what those drugs do. They influence you. They influence your mood. Well, they influence your mind. That's what they do. They numb it, stimulate it, whatever you want to do with it. That's what they do. So, folks, this isn't a coincidence by any means.
So,
we'll just have to figure out what's going on, because if you take enough time to think about this, America become, and I'm not talking about illegal drugs here, but I'm talking about what we call municipal drugs, I guess, for medicine. Golly, we use a lot of them. And some of them are valid, but a lot of them are, like I said, mood swings, different things. And when you grow up, did you ever hear of ADHD or bipolar when you were growing up? I mean, did you ever hear about school shootings when you were growing up?
No, we were just
mass shootings
healthy,
anywhere?
Active children.
Exactly. So something changed. But there's more news here. I'm sorry,
I just want to say one more thing. and I'll keep coming this out. There was a comment from Zelensky. He says, we must act. We must act. So Zelensky's going to be feeding into Biden and everybody else's ear that we have to now become involved.
They're a team.
Yep.
Yeah, rah, rah, rah. They're a team. Go get them. I mean, we have our excuse now. Let's go after them. This could really, folks, I'm asking if you're a praying individual, and I hope you are, and I hope you know who you're praying to, this is something to pray about. It truly, truly is something to pray about.
Yes.
I mean, we got tomorrow, and there could be nukes landing in Europe. That would be something that we don't even think about.
No.
And nukes in Russia. And believe me, folks, they can reach us very easily.
Absolutely. So okay, now you may go.
Okay, we'll get
your
on
turn.
Some mundane stuff, because I think this is really mundane.
So.
Well, I hear you. This is not mundane for folks living in Buffalo, New York, but feet of snow to bury buffalo, a potentially historic lake effect event looms. A winter storm which had been issued for parts of western New York ahead of a long lake effect snow, even that could produce potentially record-setting amounts of 3 to 6 feet. AccuWeather, that's called global warming. But anyway, AccuWeather meteorologists say the fiercest lake effect snow event yet this season, and potentially in years, will ramp up downwind to the Great Lakes this week and bury some locations with feet of snow, ground travel to a halt, and potentially stamp new marks in the weather history books. Forecasters warned that travel could be difficult to nearly impossible amid the heaviest snow bands, including along sections of Interstate 90 in the Buffalo, New York area, and I-81 north of Syracuse. Snow may pour down at the rate of 2 to 4 inches an hour at times. While the region has had its fair share of snow showers due to the recent arrival winter-like cold, experts say the upcoming event could be one of the historic proportions as the lake effect machine ramps up to full throttle beginning Thursday and continue right through into the weekend. Wow. You know, it's going to be cool here in the hills, but it's supposed to be sunshine all weekend. It'll be in the 40s and maybe 50s when this is cool. But, geez, 3 to 6 feet snow? I think I'll stay down here, Melody.
Yeah, I might just go to Florida.
There you go. It's 86 degrees in Tampa this morning. I saw that. So, anyway, there you go. And I mentioned yesterday, but Joe from Arkansas talked about the kerosene, mixing kerosene with diesel, trying to get the price down.
Yep.
I was wrong. I said kerosene is $8 a gallon. I was wrong. He corrected me today. He said, you got my figures wrong. Kerosene here is over $16 a gallon.
What?
Yep. Local hardware place has 5-gallon can of kerosene marked at over $80. Now think about that.
Well, that's usury. That store will get in trouble.
Well, it probably is not the only one that does it. I wouldn't think about if they did. One store did it. They probably wouldn't have any business on that. But that is absolutely unthinkable. I mean, that is absolutely no reason. There's not I cannot think of an excuse for that for any reason in the world.
No.
Thanks for the heads up, Joe. And I didn't mean to quote you wrong, but thanks for the heads up. Here we go again with more tech news. Amazon to fire 10,000 employees, largest layoff in company history. Over the past month, technology companies have laid off tens of thousands of employees, and the momentum in layoffs only appears to be worsening. According to a new report via New York Times this morning, Amazon could add to the count this week, as approximately 10,000 people in corporate and technology jobs will be sliced in what could be the most significant job cut in the company's history. People with direct knowledge of the layoff plan said job cuts will be focused on Amazon's devices organization, including the voice assistant Alexa, its retail division, and human resources. The total number of layoffs remain fluid, but if it stays around 10,000, that would represent about 3% of Amazon's corporate employees and less than 1% of its global workforce of more than 1.5 million, which is primarily composed of hourly workers. A deteriorating macroeconomic backdrop led America's second-largest employer to announce a hiring freeze in early October. Amazon recruiters were instructed to halt all hiring for corporate roles, including technology positions, globally in its Amazon stores business, which covers the company's retail and operation and accounts for the bulk of Amazon sales by mid-October. Then late October, the company froze hiring for its lucrative web services division. So, I realize out of 1.5 million employees, that's not a bunch, but it's 10,000 people affected. That's a bunch of them, is it not, Melody?
It certainly is.
I mean, if you're one of those 10,000, yeah, it's just the beginning. Now, listen to this. Musk plans to end free lunch at Twitter headquarters, claims meals cost $13 million a year. Twitter workers who survived the chopping block after Elon Musk overpaid for the social media site will soon have to pay their own meals. Gosh, I feel sorry for that. But anyway, the billionaire said he will scrap three meals served at Twitter's headquarters in San Francisco because it was costing company around $400 per worker. That doesn't seem, maybe it is, I don't know. Musk completed his $44 billion takeover of Twitter last month and promptly fired about half of the 7,500-person workforce. He also proceeded to mandate a return to the office and pointed to the lack of mouths to feed as driving up the cost of free lunch program. Musk took to Twitter on Sunday to say that offering three meals at the company's cafeteria had become unsustainable because almost no one came to the office. He estimated that free meals cost the company about $13 million a year. A Twitter employee who quit after Musk took over denied his claims hours later, saying that free meals cost the company no more than $25 per person per day. That's still a lot of money.
Why do these people think that they deserve any free lunch?
I know.
And he's
going to make him come back to the office.
So.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, well, $25. Multiply that times a few thousand, it adds up, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, what an idiot. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. But he's going to make him come back to work in the office, too. I mean, how dare he? How dare he?
But you know what's funny? It's interesting because whenever a company overtakes and absorbs another company, first thing they're going to do is trim the employees, trim the workforce. They're going to do all these cost-cutting, have these cost-cutting decisions that they enforce and whatnot. I mean, it happens. Because they're merging two companies into one, they don't need, or it's a buyout because a company is not performing well enough, and people go in there and do what they have to do. It's not news. It's just Musk makes the news.
That's true.
You know, because of who he is. You know, so people get opinions about him and saying he's either a really nasty person or, you know, we think, you know, hey, it's your company. Do what you need to do to make it successful.
We're going to talk about Jeff Bezos now.
Okay.
He says hold off on big purchases like TVs. Jeff Bezos said don't buy anything big. This is in Washington, CNN News Business. Amazon founder Jeff Bezos recently warned its consumers and businesses they should consider postponing large purchases in the coming months as the global economy contends with a downturn and face a possible recession. The business leader offered his starkest advice yet on the faltering economy in an exclusive sit-down interview with CNN's Chloe Malas on Saturday at Bezos' Washington, D.C. home. Bezos urged people to put off expenditures for big-ticket items such as new cars, televisions and appliances, noting that that delaying big purchases is the surest way to keep some dry powder in the event of a prolonged economic downturn. Meanwhile, small businesses may want to avoid making large capital expenditures or acquisitions during this uncertain time. If enough consumers follow through with Bezos' advice, it can mean lower sales for Amazon, the e-commerce giant Bezos founded, and that just created the vast majority of the billionaires' wealth. Well, I don't know what to say. We've been saying for a long time, don't go in debt. I think we said at least two or three times, haven't we, Melody? Don't go in debt right now. Stay out of debt.
I
believe we said that a few times. A few times.
Yeah.
And when I look at the price of automobiles, for example, even if I wanted to buy a new car, I couldn't afford it. There's no way. And a used one is although the prices, the wholesale price come down, the retail price haven't budged a whole lot. Now, that's the truth. So it's just a huge situation for people that are trying to get by and things getting tighter every day. Wall Street bonuses, and I feel so sorry for these folks, Wall Street bonuses to plunge as much as 45% for bankers. Melody, how are they going to live on that? Mm-hmm. Wall Street investment bankers can expect much smaller bonuses this year as the economy slows, according to projections published on the Tuesday by Johnson Associates Incorporated, a compensation consultant in New York. Bankers who underwrite equity or debt offerings are forecast to receive payouts that are 40 to 45% lower than 2021, while their counterparts who advise on mergers and acquisitions will get bonuses that are 15 to 20% lower this year. The plunge in compensation contrasts with a windfall of 2021 when dealmakers bought in bumper profits as markets buy for buyouts and the initial public offerings boomed. The labor market went from white hot to very cold, and now we're having layoffs and hiring freezes, said Alan Johnson, manager, director of Johnson Associates. It's been quite a head-spinning term. Bank executives will probably see annual bonus reduction of 25 to 30%, while asset managers will see 20 to 25% less this year, study showed. So I don't really feel sorry for them or not, but you know, a 45% cut in a bonus you used to is a big cut. And I always heard that, of course, the more you make, the more you spend. Maybe this will hurt them as much as it does a lower income family because they're in debt up to their eyeballs. You see what I'm saying about that?
I do.
So, you know, and I've tried to even teach my boys, don't spend everything you make. At least the maximum be 75% of your income if you can make it that way. And try to reserve on others. And of course, I pay tithes. 10% goes to the Lord. And the rest of it, I told them 10% in a savings account that you don't touch, and 10% in an emergency savings account where you can fall in by tires or a car or whatever. But learn to live on about 70% of your income. And if you make yourself do that, it makes the load a lot easier. I know it gets tougher. I'm not saying it doesn't. And you might have to get into the savings account that you put back for certain purposes. But if you handle it the right way, you can survive. And I assume most people, though, live right to the hilt, right up to the last penny every month. That's just what I'm thinking.
And paycheck to paycheck.
Paycheck to paycheck. And barely that sometimes. Mm. So, okay. Getting close to a break, folks. I'll let Melody say hello and goodbye real quick, and we're back to the break.
Hello, goodbye. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk Radio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. We're into the last segment of the program today, and all kinds of crazy things going on. It's crazy, Butch.
Well, it is, and here's something we know is going to happen. We saw it coming for a long time ago, but then now it's really starting to come into place. This, I'm not making this up. This is a real article. Here come, now pay attention to the wording, here come programmable dollars. New York Fed and 12 banking giants launch digital dollar test. Folks, we told you this is coming. Your greenback's going to go away. You're not going to have fiat currency in your hand. You're not going to have any currency in your hand at all. You're going to have a card or whatever you're going to use. But never let a crisis go to waste, or a market crisis for that matter. When equity and bond markets stuck in brutal bear markets and providing a sufficient distraction to what is happening behind the scenes, the Fed and a group of banks have been quietly preparing for the next stage in the organized crash pipeline, the rollout of CBSC. That's digital dollars, folks. According to a statement by the New York Fed, global banking giants are starting a 12-week digital dollar pilot, with the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. The participants announced on Tuesday. Citigroup, HSBC Holdings, MasterCard, and Wells Fargo are among the financial companies participating in the experiment alongside with the New York Fed, which will provide a public contribution to the body of knowledge on the application of new technology to the regulated financial system. Regulated financial system, folks. Bank of New York Mellon, the money laundering bank of the world, HSBC Holdings, PNC Financial Services, Toronto Dominion Bank, Truist Financial, and U.S. Bank Corp. are also participating in the test, along with the payments workout network MasterCard. The project, which is called the Regulated Liability Network, will allow banks to simulate issuing digital currency, digital money, representing their customers, their own funds, before settling through central bank reserves on the distributed ledger, the New York Fed said. The pilot will test how banks using digital dollar tokens in a common database can help speed up payments. Programmable U.S. dollars may be necessary to support new business models and provide a foundation to much-needed innovations in financial settlements and infrastructure. Tony McLaughlin, the Managing Director of the Emerging Payments and Business Development of Citigroup Treasury and Trade Solutions Division, said in a statement today, projects like this that focus on the digitalization of central bank money and individual bank deposits could be expanded to take a broader view of the opportunity. Melody, we're right on the cusp of a whole brand new system going through here, a whole brand new method of paying bills and getting paid. I mean, we've all gotten used to direct deposit, and it's basically the same thing, except you can go and get current fiat currency out of your account yet. But this could end it all. Talk about total control. How serious is that?
Well, I mean, we know that, you know, there's a new monetary system that's going to be coming in because this is, you know, again, that's the next step. I mean, it's just nothing ever stays the same, and we certainly don't have a good program in order to keep it the same. And there's too much corruption and debt in order, you know, to it's just a matter of time until they bring it in. But you know, they're setting. I'm not quite sure we really know what it is. Because they don't let people know what it is, but it's something. But these are all things that tell us that that's how it's just a little bit closer every day. So.
And you remember we discussed this on air many times about the retirement funds and the health insurance companies are going to start wanting to cut back on, well, useless eaters. We talked about that, right?
Yes.
You know, we talked about it many times. Well, This is out of Canada, folks. This is out of Canada. Please listen to this, because this, in my mind, is part of the way they're going to start cutting back on cost. You know, health care cost, people that aren't worth saving, but now they're going to blame it on something else. And here's what it is. Doctors advised to suggest suicide to patients as Canada runs out of basic painkillers. And I didn't make that up, folks. That's for real. The Canadian healthcare system, which is totally socialist, and so are we now, is experiencing an acute shortage of basic painkillers, particularly ibuprofen. Ibuprofen, folks, everybody knows what that is, which are commonly used to relieve pain and fever in children during flu season. Canada's Association of Medical Assistants and Dying Accessories and Providers, what a name. Canada Association of Medical Assistants and Dying Assessors. Now, folks, I'm going to read that sink in. Canada's Association of Medical Assistants and Dying Assessors and Providers, it's called CAMAP, C-A-M-A-P, chose this perhaps awkward moment to roll out a webinar for healthcare professionals that advised them to offer assisted suicide to their suffering patients. As Canada's National Post noted, doctors around the world are normally explicitly prohibited or strongly discouraged from bringing up the subject of euthanasia, even in jurisdictions where assisted suicide is legal. Beginning with a guidance document published in 2019, CAMAP asserted that, on the contrary, Canadian doctors have a duty. Let me repeat that. Canadian doctors have a duty to begin the conversation about medical assistance in dying, or MAID, M-A-I-D. With their patients rather than waiting for patients to ask their options. MAID is a process by which healthcare professionals kill the patient. That's pretty straight out, I do believe. Now, folks, I say kill. Boom, okay? Desperate moms and dads are now having to choose between taking their sick kids to overcrowded emergency rooms or crossing the border to the United States where there's no shortage of these basic medicines. Now, folks, we just found out today there is a shortage. American shelves are stocked. Canadian shelves are empty, opposition leader Pierre Poilievre said on Thursday. So they pretty well said that very clearly there. MAID is a process in which the healthcare professionals kill the patient. Now, I don't know whether that's something that we should be concerned about or not, Melody. I mean, gee, should that concern us? I mean, we've been talking about, you know, they have to cut cost. Well, sure. Just kill them.
You know, and the sad thing is, you know, they treat patients. They won't treat patients, and they'll encourage them to do this. So whether that patient could maybe survive for a little bit longer and so forth. I've had this discussion so many times about, you know, the elderly on zapping the system. There's so many people out there that think, well, we take better care of our animals. We euthanize our animals. But yet we make
people
suffer. I know.
Well, I mean, we're not a dog or a cat, and I love my dog, and I won't let him suffer at all. But you can't just tell my dad, "Hey, I'm gonna put you down, Dad. You're hurting."
I know. But you know, they talk about it, it's a drain, and it's like, no, we don't have the right to kill anyone.
No, we don't.
Unborn or born. We take care of them. It's our responsibility to take care of them.
The time of death belongs to God Almighty.
And if there's something that, you know, and if it's a person's own decision if they want to prolong and try various medications, if it provides them another day or two or week or month or year, it's their choice. It's their decision. You know, people supposedly on the left, you know, women, they want women to have the right to abort. Well, let the elderly have the right to make their own decisions when it comes to their health care. That's real.
But no one asks a baby.
No. Well, they don't think it's a baby until it's born.
No, of course
not. It's just an electrical thing that you hear. It's not a heart.
It's a blob.
It's a blob.
Yeah. Yeah. That's totally unbiblical, and it's found all through the Bible, but that's beside the point. Point of it is, we're seeing life become cheap in here, Melody. Life has become very cheap.
Very much.
All around the world, but especially in America and Canada now. That's just the way it is.
But it becomes very wealthy to those corporations.
Yep, I agree.
Healthcare for profit, the worst thing they ever did.
Well, when you have the companies like BlackRock and other companies that own the healthcare system, there you go. There you go. And Pfizer going to increase its profits for the COVID vaccine by 10,000%. Yeah, I'd say they're making pretty good money at that. I would. Anyway, we'll move on. One of England's largest solar farms goes bust after borrowing £655 million. Believe it or not, another solar energy company has gone bust. This time, it was one of the largest in England. Toucan Energy Holdings, based in Essex, southern England, has gone into administration after racking up a whopping £500 million in debt, according to a Bloomberg report. The company owns 53 solar farms across the country and had borrowed £655 million from Third Rock Council over the course of 4 years to try and finance expansion, the report notes. The investments are now being called a scandal of huge proportions by the council's opposition. Third Rock Council has since appointed administrators to try and sell off the farms and return some cash to the council. Liquidation is supposed to be maximized recovery for taxpayers, the current leader of the council said. The key word is there, maximize recovery for who? Not the council, not a corporation, taxpayers.
Mm-hmm.
They're the one to fund it. Taxpayers always lose. The bankers don't lose, taxpayers lose. When the bailouts back in 2008, who do you think paid that? I don't get started on that. But that's just what goes down, folks. The peons pay. Now, OPEC cuts oil demand growth estimates yet again. And I assume that's really happening, but I haven't seen the gas price of gasoline drop around here for a long time. But apparently, the demand for oil is dropping in some places. Even China is pretty much shut down over COVID again. And, you know, so it's not using as much as it usually would. So why don't we see a drop in prices significant enough to make a difference at the pumps?
Well, I mean, they have to increase, not cut. They have to increase production.
Yeah.
And they're cutting it.
But they're saying there's lack of demand. It looks to me like, are they cutting it back and trying to keep this price up? Is that what we're trying
to do? Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, there you go.
Absolutely.
Okay. Melody already broke the story about Poland. Japan is bracing itself for war with China. Wow. One of the world's most powerful countries has long been sworn to pacifism. China's increasingly worrying actions are forcing it to reconsider. Japan is worried. A close neighbor is talking tough. It wants control over Tokyo's southernmost island, shipping lanes, and oil reserves. Now that talk is relentlessly marching towards action. Prime Minister Fumio Kishida last week pledged that he would prepare to face aggression. We must prepare ourselves for an era when actors emerge to disobey rules and use force or threats to destroy the peace and safety of our other nations, Kishida said as the address and National Fleet Review in Tokyo Bay. We will accelerate realistic discussions on what's needed to defend our people by keeping our options on the table. That's more complicated than it sounds. Japan has a strict pacifist constitution. It was adopted after World War II as a result of its invasion of China in 1937 and attacking Pearl Harbor in 1941. Tokyo's reputation never fully recovered. and China's chairman Xi Jinping is keen to exploit this bitter history. In 2016, Yi declared it was a heavy historical responsibility for his generation to secure the Japanese-administered Shikoku Islands and dominate the East China Sea. But some in Beijing, who also have eyes on the entire Ryukyu Island chain, including heavily populated Okinawa, this will give Beijing guaranteed access to the Pacific Ocean and a buffer against retaliatory actions from the United States. It's already working towards this goal. And on top of that, Japan scrambles fighters for Chinese aircraft near Okinawa. Might go together, folks. Japanese fighter jets scrambled to intercept three Chinese aircraft, including a drone, near Okinawa on Monday, according to Japanese Joint Staff. Japan Air Self-Defense Force intercepted a BZK-005 high-altitude reconnaissance drone, a Y-9 intelligence-gathering aircraft, and a Y-9 patrol aircraft that flew between Okinawa and Mikeo Island, 175 miles to the southwest, as spokesman for the Joint Staff told Stars and Stripes on Tuesday. Mikeo is a part of the Okinawa prefecture. The spokesman declined to provide details of the self-defense force response, including how many and what type of aircraft responded, what time the incidents occurred, or what action the aircraft took in the air. None of the Chinese aircraft entered Japanese airspace, he said. Well, we're seeing another hotspot build up, are we not?
Absolutely, we are.
And I'll hit one more quick. UN has asked Russia, told Russia, they need to pay war reparations because they invaded Ukraine. That said, they have to pay him. Now, I'm sure Russia's scared to death over that. But so, folks, here we go. Just remember what Melody just broke. Poland just got hit. U.S. pressuring Russia to pay for the war, damage done in the war. This is not going to end well if we don't rein in the thing pretty quickly.
And if anybody thinks that they want it to end well, it's not.
It's not.
They don't.
It's not.
Or the whole thing would have been handled totally different from day one. But we'll be back tomorrow, Lord willing. So be safe out there, folks. Do what you need to do and be safe. Good night and God bless.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.